Tabernacle, how are we doing today? Well, good morning. I'm Pastor Aaron, and this is my beautiful wife, Greta, and we're going to announce to you some announcements. So, announce.
Yep, all the announcing. Okay, so first we want to welcome all of our new guests and let you know about the Connect Room. There is a room down this hallway after service, and our staff and church family are in there, and we would love to connect with you and meet you. But if you feel like you're not connected yet either, go in that room and let's get you plugged in somewhere.
There's also snacks in that room, so, you know, if for nothing else, snack time. But also, this weekend, Friday and Saturday night, we have Elmira Fest in Grove Street Park. I'm super excited. There's going to be lots of activities for the kids, lots of activities for the families. More importantly, there's going to be a whole lot of Jesus happening. So, I mean, if nothing else, that's exciting. Also, if you would like to volunteer for that, or if you signed up to volunteer for that, after this service at about 1 o'clock, we are going to have a volunteer meeting right here in the sanctuary. So if you could be present for that, that would be awesome.
And then last but not least, we have Remnant Bible College starting this week. Their fall semester will start this week, but it's not too late to apply. So if you go to remnantonline.org, you can sign up there or meet up with Pastor Tim and Pastor Noel. So that's what we have going on. So now we're going to introduce our pastors.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
You ready for a great day?
Yay. It's awesome Woo. To be back in the house. Woo! I love it. Pastor was here last week, but I missed all of you. I love being home so much. It's awesome, and we get on an airplane as soon as church is over. So
please keep us in prayer today. We're heading down to Marco Island in Florida. We leave right after service, and we're going to be on Faith TV Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. If you don't have the app yet, grab your phone real quick. And go and download Faith Now. Yeah. It is probably one of the most Pentecostal, it actually is, the most Pentecostal Christian television programming available right now.
Absolutely.
And so your pastors will be on there. I think it's hundreds of millions of people will be watching, which I brought an extra set of shorts just to change because I'm going to be nervous.
Wow.
But that's going to be tomorrow at noon, Monday at noon, Tuesday at noon, and Wednesday at noon on Faith TV or Faith Now, the app. And so Absolutely. We'll be 3 hours, noon to 3. So please keep us in prayer. We'll be back on Thursday and ready for Elmira Fest. How many
yes.
are excited about Elmira Fest? Woo! Reaching our own community, amen? Loving our own community. And we're going to give away a car, and this is going to be so much fun. We're going to just have a great time.
And let's talk about what's going on in our community
let's
right now.
Let's talk about that.
Woodhull and mm-hmm. Addison area has had massive flooding and damage done to their communities, like serious crippling stuff, schools that can't open because the stuff has been destroyed, and they've actually called on us, the church,
Isn't that
his
wild?
Tabernacle, to help their communities. So please be the hands and feet of Christ in this. I so wish we weren't getting on an airplane because I'd be right there signing up to help. Pastor Cody is heading that up. Please make sure you sign up to help our community.
Where can they sign up, Pastor Rhonda?
You can call the office or you can go out to the desk. However you want to do that, just say that you want to be a part and we'll make sure you get the information of when and where we are going to be at helping out. Thank you so much for being such an awesome, awesome family of Christ.
You are an amazing church.
You are.
A giving church, a loving church. Everything that we're able to do here. We just got done 2 weeks already of VBS. One more week up in
Woo,
Ithaca this
Pastor
next week.
Aaron,
Pastor
amen.
Aaron
and
has
the
been
team.
Working
There's
hard.
A team
and
of
a whole
people.
Team of people. We are very blessed. And I just want to say how much we love you. Thank you so much for allowing us to be your pastors.
Yeah.
And thank you for watching online. You're close. Now you just got to get in your car. Amen. We love you. We'll see you real soon. Amen.
Amen. Let's open up in prayer and get ready to worship the Lord. Father, we just adore you. We
yes,
love
we
you so much,
we
Jesus.
Thank you for your Holy
it
Spirit.
Is such an honor and a
move
privilege
your,
to come to
your
house
today, God.
And to gather
move
together
in your church today, God.
To move mountains together.
Challenge us,
Father,
Lord Jesus.
We are so excited
Use
about
us,
the
oh God.
Supernatural, about
Hallelujah.
Signs and wonders that will follow this preaching of the word. We just thank you so much, Jesus,
God,
for
faithful.
Every perfect gift and every
you.
Promise and every covenant right.
Yes, Jesus.
You are just such a good Father.
Yes,
we
Jesus.
Love you so much.
Yes,
we
Jesus.
Are. It's just our joy to celebrate and worship you
Hallelujah.
Today, Jesus. We love you so much. In your precious name, Jesus, enjoy our worship.
Amen. We're going to be praying for the sick during worship service. So if you're not feeling well, you're ill in your body, we want to pray for you right up front.
You on down to the altar. We definitely want to praise and worship with you. Come on, y'all.
The presence of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The presence of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is here.
Come on, you guys know this song. Sing this. Say the presence of the Lord.
The presence of the Lord is here.
Yes, the presence of the Lord.
The presence of the Lord is here.
I can feel it in
the atmosphere.
The presence of the Lord. of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord is here.
Say
the blessing.
The blessing of the Lord is here.
And I can feel it,
in the atmosphere.
Say the blessing of the
Lord. The blessing of the Lord is here.
The presence of the Lord. Come on and say this, the breakthrough of the Lord.
The breakthrough of the Lord is here. The breakthrough of the Lord is here.
I can feel it in the,
atmosphere.
Oh, the breakthrough,
the breakthrough of the Lord is here.
The breakthrough of the Lord is here. Come on, one more time. Say the healing of the Lord.
The healing of the Lord is here.
Yes, he's here right
the
now. Time, say the healing of the Lord.
The healing of the Lord is here.
Yes, the healing of the
Lord.
Healing
of the Lord is here.
I can feel it in the, and I'm gonna get my blessing right now. I can feel the presence of the Lord, and I'm gonna get my blessing right now. I can feel the presence of the Lord, and I'm gonna get my
blessing right now.
Come on and shout that out.
I can feel the presence of the Lord.
Say, I'm gonna
get my,
come on, split that up. Say, I can
feel the presence of the Lord. And I'm gonna get,
yes, I'm gonna get my, and I'm gonna get my,
yeah, right now.
I can feel the
presence of the Lord.
Now I'm gonna get,
my right now. I can feel the presence of the Lord.
And I'm gonna, come on, say, I can feel
right now. I can feel the presence of the Lord. And I'm gonna get my blessing right now. I can feel the presence of the Lord.
And I'm gonna get my
blessing.
Come on, come on.
That silence is the enemy. one voice that silences the enemy. One King who reigns for all eternity. Jesus, Jesus.
Come on, sing that name.
Jesus, 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 Jesus.
Hallelujah. Jesus. Come on, don't stop. Don't stop. Hallelujah. Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Jesus, we worship you. Jesus, we worship you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I worship you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, we worship you. God, make your presence so known that not one person can deny it right now. Holy Spirit, we want more, we want more, we want more of Jesus. More of Jesus. We know that Jesus, when you're in the house, the word declares that where the presence of the Lord is, there is the power to heal. God, not just physically, but some emotionally in the room. Some, oh God, need healing in their marriages. Some, oh God, need healing, Father, in their minds. Some, God, need healing in their bodies. Where you are, this fullness of joy. And sickness never brings joy. So drive it out of our lives in Jesus' name. As we're in your presence, God, you'll get all the glory. In your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You know, one of these weeks, I want to do a whole week where it's just testimonies of healing. Isn't that going to be cool? My brother was literally, you don't mind me sharing? He lost all feeling of his legs below his knees. We just walked over and prayed for him, and feeling all came back. Amen. God is good. Brother, I declare you're going to dance. I prayed that. Remember, I prayed that with my grandmama. So don't you be shocked when on a Sunday morning he starts dancing around the altar. Don't be shocked. Now, I'm not just saying that. My great-grandmother, Grandma Stewart, was hit by a car when she was like 94 years old. Doctor said, broke her hip. Doctor says, you'll never walk again. And she says, I'll dance before my God before I die. She died at 101, and in her late 90s, she danced before Jesus in the Church of God right there in Winchton, Massachusetts. Why? Because God believes in nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken. Amen? He loves you. Turn to someone and say, my God loves me. That's right. My God loves me. Tell somebody else. Now tell somebody else, Jesus loves you. Amen. You may be seated this morning. We're going to we're probably not going to do meet and greet if you don't mind. This morning we have a lot on the plate, a lot of things are going on. We are very excited what the Holy Spirit is doing. We have a bunch of folks down and on vacation this week. It's one of the last few weeks of vacations, and so we want to pray for them. God will bless them, keep them safe, get them refreshed. Amen. God's good. Praise the Lord. What's that? You don't have a mic. I think they're doing something in the back. Actually, why don't we do that? We're going to do that. Stay there, Greta. We're going to do meet and greet. So everybody stand to your feet. I know you're going to feel like you're in a Catholic church. Be all right. Why don't you go find, listen now, not everybody's comfortable. If they're not comfortable, don't breach. But ask them, is it all right if I shake your hand or give you a hug? Go meet somebody you don't know. Don't be a snob now. Turn to somebody and say, don't be a snob. Go find somebody you don't know. Tell them, good morning. You look just marvelous today.
Good morning, everyone. How are you? We're just looking at some of these prayer requests here. Lori, yes, we will pray. He said, needed healing in my body in the mighty name of Jesus. Absolutely. God, I pray that you would touch Lori right now where she's at, that she would feel your mighty presence over her right now, God, that you would, you would just come in her fully, God, that she would feel you and she would notice a huge difference. In Jesus' name right now, amen. Good morning, Mike. Good morning, Lauren. Good morning, Faith. Good morning, Jeannie. Minister Mackenzie's going to come over here, too, and she's going to do some praying, too.
I need to do some praying. Hey, family.
For Lori, healing in her body.
Oh, Lori Runyon, I miss you. Yeah. Hey, Lauren. Guys, Lauren Larkey is holding a revival service at, like, 17. She's absolutely amazing. She's a crazy, awesome part of our church family. Jenny says, my God loves me. You know what? He do. He do. And we love you, too.
We got people watching from Florida, too, I think.
Oh, where's everybody watching from? That'll be fun to see.
Arizona.
We love our online family. You guys are lit in your own way, for sure. You know what's crazy? Pastor Spencer and Pastor Rhonda are starting a podcast, and I'm going to be hosting it. So I'm super excited about that. So all my online people, if you want to stay online, praise God, but hop over to the podcast whenever we start it in September, first week of September, I think, and come listen to our pastor and Pastor Rhonda teach us some things and have great conversation. Green Valley, Arizona, look at God. Brenda Lewis, Virginia. Hi, Brenda. Hi, Virginia. Soak up the warm weather for us.
Yes.
You know, it hasn't really been warm.
It's disgusting and kind of muggy more so. But I think we're going to wrap up here. But it was so good to hang out with you guys and see you. And hopefully we'll see you soon inside the church. That'd be cool, too. But also, if you're out of town, obviously, that doesn't really work that way. So, but we'll see you. Have a great Sunday. Mike needs prayer. Pray that God clears my mind to help me sleep at night. Absolutely. Jesus, we pray for Mike right now. We pray that as soon as his head hits the pillow every single night, that his mind wouldn't be racing. He wouldn't have any extra thoughts about the day or what has happened, that he would be able to sleep in your peace, God, and just have amazing dreams about you too, God, that he would be able to just think on you, and that will give him rest. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Okay, we'll see you guys.
Amen. You all are fabulous. You can go ahead and return to your seats now. We've been doing something new during the meet and greet time with the online people. We've been interacting and praying over their prayer requests. So it's become a pretty special thing immediately. We've had huge response from that. So while we're meet and greeting, they're able to meet and greet online and get prayers. So that's awesome thing that we just started doing for service. So that's excellent. All right, I think I got everybody back to their seats now. This is the time of tithes and offerings, and I just want to thank you for being such a generous and giving church. We started the Kingdom Seed, which is just all of the ministries that we do. We just make it available for you to sow as as you feel to sow. And with Pastor and I, we've learned I want to sow every single day so that I can have a harvest every single day. I don't want just seasons of harvest. I want to have harvest every single day. So we make that kingdom seed available all the time. And you know what's so awesome about that? We just had the Uproar event completely funded. We didn't have to worry about standing up and telling you we have needs for money and all that stuff. And then we have Elmira Fest coming up this Friday and Saturday, and all of the funds are there so that we can be a blessing to our community and reach out to them. We're able to give a car away. It's going to be such an absolute blessing for someone. So make sure you all come out to Elmira Fest Friday night, 5:45, and Saturday night at 5:45. There's bounce houses, food. It's going to be powerful words spoken and worship. So get connected to our community. Love, be the light of Jesus in our community, and show up at Grove Street Park Friday and Saturday night. But you all are such great givers that we have all the funds that we need to do these ministries as they come up. And that's what the Word of God tells us. It says, tithe, so that in my house there will be enough for every good work that gets to be done. And you're such amazing givers and cheerful givers that we're literally able to do that. We're able to give to every good work that comes into our hands. So if you're ready this morning, we're going to give. We're going to make our supernatural declaration. If you stand to your feet, we declare the word of the Lord over our money, because this isn't just a saying. This is the powerful word of God in Deuteronomy 28. And when the word of God goes forth, it does not return void. So we're declaring prosperity, favor, increase, jobs, businesses. Even in famine, we don't have to worry, because our money is not in the natural realm. We moved it to the supernatural realm, and God blesses it. So let's get ready. Let's declare the word of God together over our finances. And it says, repeat after me, if I obey, then I'm blessed going in, and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse, and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up, because I'm a child of God, and I'm blessed. And give your tithes and offerings to the Lord this morning. If you're watching by a live stream, you can click on the giving button on our website or text to give right along with us.
The presence of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The presence of the Lord is here. 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 I feel it in the atmosphere. The presence of the Lord is here. 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 I feel it in the atmosphere. The presence of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is here.
The blessing
of the Lord is here. The blessing of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The blessing of the Lord is here. The blessing of the Lord is here.
priceless treasure. God knows me, God hears me, God is my comfort. I am His and there's nothing better. Forgiven and chosen forever.
Come on, give me another hand clap this morning. The future leaders of His Tabernacle Family Church. You know, a lot of people look at the children as just, oh, those are nice little kids. Oh, no, 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 these are the next ministers. These are the next leaders. They're going to be leading all the departments of His Tabernacle someday soon, amen? It's exciting, raising them up in the Holy Spirit, excited about God, amen. Pastor Aaron, can you give everybody a hand clap? Give Pastor Aaron a hand clap this morning. Amen. I wanted to have Brother Terry share a vision that he's been seeing over the last few weeks. And so, Brother Terry, will you come?
Thank you. Good morning. I haven't been on the stage in a while. I've been coming here probably 14, 15 years now, and there's just something different that can't be explained in the natural here. Okay, so seeing the news has been no shock to anybody. Who's in charge of whatever, no shock to anybody. We're all in the same situation, same virus, whatever. There's something here, though.
Amen.
That I have been seeing. When I'm down on the stage here looking up, Minister McKenzie, if you think I'm just staring at you weird, it's not actually you. But what I see is the throne room. It's got God on the throne. And then there's several thrones on either side that are empty, mind you, because God's kings are servers too. But in this throne room, I just see God, and I can't see His face. about chest up, I can't see. There's a cloud or something. I can't explain it, but the past few weeks, about a month now, so I don't mean to, I'm seeing it right now. During praise and worship, God is sitting on the throne, and we begin to worship and we begin to step into something, and I can see his hand on his knee, and it starts going like this. That's pretty cool, you know, he's feeling something, but that's not all. As worship and praise has progressed, just the way you guys have come faithfully to the house during all of this nonsense, God sees that. He sees that. He recognizes you individually in your seats. He knows exactly who's come and who's been faithful. And shout out to the worship team. You guys have gone. To say you've gone to another level is, that's not the right words. You've gone into, okay? The past couple of weeks, I see God, his hands going like this, and then I noticed I couldn't see his hand anymore, but he was standing up. And I still can't see it, but I also see in this throne room, there's almost like a window or something that he's looking through. And as we progress and the further we step in and the more we push in and tap into something and start pulling on this divine power and anointing, I see him and I start seeing his hands going like this. And he's going like this and he's waving people into the throne room. And these kings and these servants are entering and he's going, look, and he's pointing. He said, that's my house. They're pulling, and he's so proud of his kids coming to his home that he's calling the kings and the servants in heaven, in the heavenly realms, in the heavenly places, to look at you, to look at this house. I haven't seen it or felt it with any other house, but this one, you guys made God stand to his feet and call attention to the heavens. This house is drawing on a power that you can't wrap your carnal mind around. There's something here. If you haven't tapped into this house has tapped into something beyond this earthly realm. You need to understand the power that you can carry when you leave this building that goes with you, because you've called the attention of heaven. And God himself has stood, and he thanks you, and he's recognized the gifts and the worship in this house. Don't stop being faithful. This, we've seen just my short years being here on earth, I've seen major issues come, I've seen God deal with them, and I've seen peace come afterwards. Don't give up. You have tapped into something that is so real and powerful. I just keep pressing in, because I can't wait to see next week or next month what's going to happen, because the picture that I see is just, it's mind-blowing. I can't say words in English. I can only speak in a heavenly realm when I see this and the movement and the angels. And he was laughing. He's like, come and look. I'm so proud of that. That's my house. And just, I just want to, you're all doing a phenomenal job. Our leaders, they've brought us here. Our desire and hunger is because of what they've had to go through. And giving up is just not a thing. They've pressed into something so supernatural that it's not even fair for me to try to explain it right now. But just know you're in the right place and you are here for a reason. All right? Jesus loves you all. Now I get to turn it over to Minister Carla.
Pastor Rhonda, will you please step out for just a moment? We're totally going to talk about her. In a good way. In a totally good way. You have to just give me a minute to recover from from that powerful word from Brother Terry. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. And honestly, all I need to do is just pick up where he left off in that. We're talking about Pastor Rhonda because next week is her birthday. And so, okay, you can clap more. And we are going to celebrate her birthday. We are going to celebrate the fact that God made Pastor Rhonda. And we're going to celebrate it big next week. And so I just want to encourage everybody here and just reiterate what Brother Terry just said, that, you know, we wouldn't be here if it weren't for our leaders. And in the Word, it shows us that when I was reading, it's 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 11, and a foreign king wrote to Solomon and said, because the Lord loves his people, he has made you king over them. The foreigner, non-believer, recognized God's love for his people by the leadership that God put in place over them. And so that's what we do when we honor our leaders. We are actually acknowledging God's love for us because he loved us so much that he gave us leaders like them. And so when we honor them on special occasions, that's what we're doing. We're acknowledging God's love for us. And we're also honoring them because the word says that let those who are faithful in teaching the word and doctrine be worthy of double honor. And so we are going to double honor Pastor Rhonda next week. She has been faithful in the word and doctrine, faithful in her faith, and she stands up here as a demonstration of God's love to us and God's miracle working power to us every single week. And so let's purpose in our hearts. Come prepared next week. We're going to party. There's going to be a balloons and there's going to be a special offering. So be prepared to bless Pastor Rhonda in a mighty way to show her double honor. I don't know if there's going to be ice cream. That's not up to me. But there will at least be balloons.
We need ice cream. Can I hear an amen? Wow. What's that? She doesn't like ice cream, but I do. So her birthday can be mine too. Amen. I'm going to preach a way that I have not preached in a decade, which brought the first service into an issue. And I don't have a lot of notes this morning. I just want to preach out of my spirit and preach where I know we need to be. This year, God has been speaking to us that we are changing forward. Shout it out loud with me. Change forward. That God has called us to change. People don't like change. Change brings discomfort. But one of the greatest things about change is you don't remain in the same location. God has greater things for you, but God can't give you the greatness if you settle for the goodness. Amen. So today I just want to talk to you. We've been ministering on how we change forward, that God needs to bring revival to his church. Remember, you can't revive what was not once alive. You know you need revival if you struggle to come to church on a Sunday morning. If you struggle and have to try to convince yourself to come to the house of God, you need revival. Why? Because there's a passion in your heart when you're first born again to be in the house of the Lord. And the reason for that is because not only did God say it, but I love being in the corporate presence of the Lord. The Bible says in Psalms 133, behold, how good and how pleasant it is when the brethren dwell together in unity. It is like the anointing that flows down the beard of Aaron, over his head, down his beard, down his coat, all the way to his feet. And it's there that God commands the blessing. You see, it's important to know that you need revival if you're struggling because you don't really read the Bible anymore. If you're not reading the Bible, you need revival in your heart. If you're not praying, you need revival in your heart. You need God to breathe a fresh breath into your spiritual walk and a fresh passion into your heart for him. Listen, the devil's working desperately in these last days. We're not listening to anything strange. Anybody who's not even born again knows that something's messed up in this world. That things are going crazy, going awry. We just watched the whole thing in Afghanistan. What a horrible vision to see how many Americans are still stuck there. What a horrible vision to realize how many pastors and Christians are being executed, beheaded today, right now, being beheaded today for their only reason they love Jesus. It's a recognized situation that Jesus is coming quickly, that Jesus is coming soon. And if there's ever been a time when the church needs to change forward, it is right now. You know, we've talked about how God is going to do a new thing, our verse for the year. But the new thing really isn't new. The new thing is that God is going to bring revival. The resurrection and the life is going to resurrect again the very purpose for the body of Christ. We have missed it as the body of Christ across even the United States of America. We've made it more of a social club than really what it actually is. We are here to be empowered to do the work and the will of God. Jesus said, if you want to see my family, see those who have done the will of God. Here we are this morning. We need to change forward to apprehend what the vision and the purpose is for each one of our lives. And today, I just want to challenge you. Today, I want to stir you. Today, I want to teach you. Today, I want to draw you into your calling and your purpose. And that is that God has divinely appointed you for. You know, today, we recognize that as Jesus has called us, he's empowered us. God would never call us to something he has not given us the power to accomplish. That would be absolutely cruel. We've been talking over the last almost 4 to 5 weeks about our base calling is to share the gospel with people. That our job as the church is to tell people about Jesus. You know, most people aren't sharing Jesus with anybody. Most people are ashamed of God. They won't say it out loud. They actually will say they love God, and they do to a capacity. But when it comes, push come to shove, and someone asks them about Jesus, or they're put in a position where they have to share Jesus, they actually are intimidated and actually a bit shamed to say that they love God and that Jesus is the only way. But I'm here to tell you today, the church has to shake this. Why? Because Jesus is the only way and the truth. There's no other name under heaven which while you shall be saved. Somebody who does not accept Jesus does not go to purgatory. The Bible is very clear what happens to them, that they are literally purged and sent to hell. Not that God would send anybody to hell, but the Bible says the wages of sin is death. You see, if Jesus, who has paid for our sins, is not received, then the person is literally saying to God, I don't need you, I'll pay for my own sins. We know that the wages of sin is death, not just natural death, for it's appointed unto a man once to die and then the judgment, but the death of literally being cast into the lake of fire at the end of history, Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. You see, eternity is real. Jesus is real. The devil is real. There is a real heaven to run after and a real hell to shun. And the church has to come again back to a revival in their heart to recognize that without you and I, this world does not have a chance. Without you and I, there is nobody that's going to tell them. Without you and I, they're going to presume they're okay because they're moral or because they're sincere or because they've joined a religion. But I'm here to tell you today that if you do not accept Jesus as your personal Savior, you do not confess Christ as the one who will wash your sins away, you do not receive the one who paid the penalty, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If we do not receive Christ, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then what happens is you have to pay for your own sin. That has never been the plan of God. God paid it for you. Jesus paid the price of sin for you. Jesus paid the price of sin for you so you don't have to pay it. The problem is somebody has to accept it, and if they don't, then what happens is they've chosen to pay their own price. The issue with the body of Christ is that we've gotten lax and lazy. We sit back in our churches and we have our nice little social club, and I love groups and I love the ministries we do, and I love giving away a car, and I think that's all great. In fact, we're designating today $1,000 to go to Woodhull and Edison just for water. We're going to give $1,000 just for water. They need water and they need food. We're going to give $1,000 just for water. And that's awesome, but that doesn't get you to heaven. One time somebody came in my office and they were living with their significant other. And they walked into my office and they gave a very large check, over $20,000. And I handed it back to them. And I said, I hope you realize, and I want to make it very clear, this $20,000 does not buy your way to heaven. I said, so if you still want to give it, you can, but it's not going to get you any closer to Jesus. You got to confess your sins. You got to turn from your sins. You got to repent from your sins. And you got to change. Come on now, change forward. You got to change where you are to be where God wants to take you. And they did. Thank you, Jesus. They gave the finances, but better than that, they got married, and now they're a phenomenal family, even in the house of God today. But we have to come to a realization, church, that without you, your friends aren't going to hear. Without you, they're not going to know. They will assume that they are okay because they're nice people. Without the church truly standing for the truth, then the world doesn't have a hope. We are the salt and we are the light, and we've got to be motivated and moved to the position of what our calling is. Now, every one of us have a different giftings. Some of you might be great singers. I am not. Some of you might be great dancers. I am definitely not. Some of you, come on now. There was a lot of amens from that section over there. Amen. You know, you might be able to be a great usher. You might be able to. I tried children's ministry for about 30 minutes and realized not my call. You might be a phenomenal cook. I can boil water and I can do okay some stuff. But I can preach. I know my gift. I understand my gift. You need to understand your gifts, amen? The motivational gifts that God put within you, that's the reason you're here. You were born for such a time as this. Man, God's got great things. But watch now, I want you to stop. We've got all the diversities of gifts. The Bible calls us the body of Christ. We are fitly formed and joined together to accomplish the will of God. That's all awesome, but we all have the same base call. And the same base call is to share Jesus with people. You know, we started last week talking about we've got to do what Jesus did. We've got to act like Jesus acted. We've got to be who Jesus desires us to be. And that means that we are called to do what Jesus did. And what did Jesus do? Jesus shared the good news that if you accept him, his blood will wash away your sin. Jesus preached and Jesus healed. These are the two main things that Jesus did. In fact, what's really cool when you look in the book of Acts, you cannot separate the message from the manifestation. Whenever you saw a manifestation of signs and wonders and miracles, you always had the gospel being preached. And when you had the gospel being preached, you always had a miracle, a healing, a sign and a wonder that proved the message. We see that in the book of Mark chapter 16, verse 20. And God confirmed his word with signs and wonders following. As the body of Christ, we've got to recognize that we've been called to do the exact same thing that Jesus did. And that is our base call, every one of us, every person that's watching by live stream, every person that's in the room, every person that's not in the room, that isn't even hearing, we still all have the same call. And that is we've been called to share the good news of Jesus, and we've been called to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Turn to somebody, say, God's called me to heal sick folk. Now I want to fix this real quick. You and I can't heal the wing on a fly. But we are the conduit. We are how God releases his healing. You and I aren't the healer. You and I are the way that healing comes. Look at your hands. Shout it out loud with me. There's healing in my hands. Miracles. Signs and wonders. When I lay hands on the sick, the Bible says, they shall recover. See, that's the power of the gospel. It's not in word only, but in deed. You see, the church has missed it. Many are not even sharing the gospel. There's no need for power. I've heard many people say, well, you know, I want the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Why? The baptism of the Holy Ghost is to be used. But you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. And you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Everything that God has is always coupled the same way. When you heard Jesus preach, you saw Jesus heal. When you saw Jesus heal, you heard Jesus preach. The word is always confirmed because heaven is not dead. I love what Paul said. I don't come to you with the excellency of speech, but I come to you with the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, that your faith will not be built upon the wisdom of man, but upon the power of God. In these last days, we're going to need more power than we've ever had before. We're going to need to see God's miracle-working power work through us more than ever before. Why is that? Because there's more doubt on the planet than we've ever seen. And it's not in the world, it's in the church. The church has stopped believing that we are the only hope of the world. The church has stopped believing that literally without the blood of Jesus, you can't go to heaven. Listen, if we actually believe that, then we couldn't keep quiet. I'll say it again. If we actually believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, then we can't keep quiet. We've got to tell somebody why. It is life and it is death. It is literally their eternity set on the balcony. And we've got to make a decision that we are the voice that God is sending. That's why you're alive for such a time as this. There are people that only you are going to be able to reach. People that only you are going to be able to share the gospel with. And if we don't share it, they don't go to heaven. How will they know unless somebody is sent? Just like, man, you and I, we could win the lottery. Not that we play. My favorite person was the guy who says, I play the lottery every week. I said, okay. He says, and when I win, I'm going to tithe. I said, you tithe now? He goes, no. I said, then you won't tithe then. If you can't tithe off $10, you'll never tithe off of $10 million. That's beside the point. Let's move on. We got to know how important we are. The enemy is striving that you will remain ignorant about who you are in Christ. The devil is banking on the fact that you will remain, come on, impotent in your purpose. Because if you remain impotent in your purpose, then there's no way to reproduce. So the nullification of the notification of the word of God, of the salvation message, becomes something that is mute, that is not heard. Therefore, people base their religious experience as a way that they believe that they're going to go to be with Christ forever. And it is a lie. The church has to abolish the lie, but the church has to first believe that they cannot speak the lie. Turn to someone and say, you're important. Turn to someone and say, there's healing in your hands. Tell somebody else, there's healing in your mouth. You see, that message is so real. That message is so real. Jesus made the statement that was very powerful. John chapter 14, verse 12. I tell you the truth. How many of you know Jesus just said, I tell you the truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. If Jesus did not tell the truth, then Jesus is a liar. If Jesus is a liar, then what are we doing? But if Jesus says he is the truth, and then he declares, this is the truth, then we got to listen. This is the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I have done, and even greater works, because I go to my Father. That means you're going to be able to do everything Jesus did. What did Jesus do? Come on now, two things. He did what? Preached and he healed. Come on, say it out loud. He preached and he healed. Come on now. He preached and he healed. Well, I'm not a preacher. That just means sharing your faith. How many of you know at least 10 people that are not going to heaven? Well, I don't want to judge them. It's not judging. It's not too hard to figure out. Even the sinner will tell you whether you're going to heaven or not. Say amen or oh my. They know truth. Y'all know at least 10 folks that aren't going to go to heaven. Have you shared the good news with them? Well, I have, but then we smoked weed together. Well, duh. I mean, you got to live this thing too. Can I hear an amen? Man, you can't be sitting there. You can't be sitting there slopping down some vodka talking about Jesus. Well, we were all getting in the spirit. Wrong spirit. You know, you can't sit back dropping the name of God, GD this and GD this and Jesus Christ this, and then expect that when you start talking about Jesus, they're going to take you serious. It's so important to realize it's not just how you speak it, it's how you live it. Turn to somebody and say, you got to live this thing. Well, I'm not perfect, Pastor. Well, good, because if you are, you can't come to this church. We don't allow any perfect people to come here. Why? Because it's not good. You'll be honest, there's nobody good. No, not one. We all got issues. Turn to someone and say, I think you got an issue. Now you got to be nice. Be nice. Be nice. There are people all around going, I have issues. I do. We all got issues. But God still needs you to declare his goodness. For it is the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. Can I hear an amen? Amen. But it's not just sharing the good news. It's healing. God wants to start using you in healing the sick. Well, I thought that's what we had evangelists for. Well, you thought wrong. Well, I thought that was the job of the pastor. You thought wrong. The fact is that healing, God wants to use every single believer in healing and in signs and wonders. Yeah. We know the verse, Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. Ready? Excuse me. Yeah. Here we go, ready? I had to find it. Just make sure I just look through the verses. These signs shall follow them that... These signs shall follow them that
believe.
These signs shall follow them that
believe.
If you're a believer, jump to your feet and shout, I am.
I am.
Well, that was close. Let's try it again. Here we go. No, you got to sit back down, Paul. Trying to jump the boat. Here we go. If you're a believer, jump to your feet and shout, I am.
I am.
You just made hell shudder. They are banking on the fact that you won't believe who you are. They're banking on the fact that you won't believe that God has and wants to use you to heal the sick. They're banking that you won't believe the whole gospel. They're banking on it because if you actually believe this, in fact, I went back to the room between services because I kind of preached long the first service. I went back to my room and I said, if just 20 people in that whole first service actually get this, we will change this whole region for Jesus Christ. Jesus only used 12. What would happen if this epiphany comes to your spirit? Will you actually start believing that without you, someone's not going to heaven? And without you, someone's not going to get healed?
Amen.
That's the truth. Without you, they're not going to get healed.
Well, I thought God would just touch them.
What do you mean? That's not how he's never done it that way. God's never done it that way. God's always used people. That's why he sent his son Jesus in the flesh. That's why he died on the cross. That's why he rose again. That's why he had the 12 disciples. That's why he called you. That's why when you confessed him, he dwelt inside of you. Why? Because he needs to use people to bring his will from heaven to earth. Without you, someone's not going to heaven. That's powerful. That just so shows how important you are. Turn to someone and say, I told you you're important. So healing is something that we've got to learn about. I want to show you how Jesus prayed for people. Because if we're supposed to do what Jesus did, and Jesus said, greater work shall you do because I go to the Father, then listen, we can't make it up our way. We've got to do it Jesus' way. And I don't know about you. I just kind of figured this out. Jesus said, I only do what the Father's told me to do. I only go where the Father's told me to go. I only say what the Father's told me to say. I only say it the way the Father's told me to say it. So I figured that if Jesus did that on earth, how he did it is how the Father has it done in eternity. And so if Father God wants to bring heaven to earth, then I better follow the way the God on earth manifested how the Father in heaven wanted it done. So it's not that difficult. Turn to somebody and say, this is not rocket science. You know, the Bible talks about how God used an ass. Remember, Balaam's on his way to go curse? Riding his donkey, riding the ass, and all of a sudden, the ass stops. And he says, man, there's an angel right there with a big sword that's going to cut you in half. If God can use a donkey, God can use you. Amen? But Pastor, you don't know where I came from. I know where you are. You can't change where you came from, but you can change where you're going. You can't change what you've done, but you can change what you will do. We've got to make a choice that you cannot live in the past. You can't change dead time. You need to live in living time. Come on now, say amen. And the time that God has for you is people that are going to be used for God's glory. Yes, you're still going to have a job. Yes, you're still going to work. Yes, you're going to have a family. Yes, you're still going to have babies. I don't want no more babies. I want babies through the babies. Glory to Jesus. But the fact is that your job and my job is the same job, and if the church doesn't do their job, then people are going to be damned to eternity, separated from Christ, and people will not get healed. Now, I don't know about you. I've never found a good sickness. Anybody ever found a good sickness? Anybody ever had the common cold? You know, when snot's running down your nose? You blow it so much that all of a sudden now, Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer. Your nose hurts to the touch. Your throat is sore. Your hiney is like, oh, Jesus, put the fire out. I know, I just had to add that. Sorry, guys. Sorry. Had to throw that in there. You know, here we are. With the common cold, I've never even seen the common cold considered. Wow, I can't wait to get it. Never mind other sicknesses and diseases. God has never desired sickness or disease. Come on, we know it. Over the last 2 weeks, I've proved that it's never God's will for you to be sick. But how does healing come? When you watch Jesus, yes, some are healed simply by declaring themselves and living in the faith walk. But when you study Jesus, many, many, many people were healed by Jesus himself and were healed by the disciples. How did they do it? The number one way, come on now, I want you to understand this right out of the gate. There is no other name under heaven which thou shalt be saved, but by the name of Jesus. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 that he gave up all of his heavenly glory, came down here to live as a man, and that God gave him a name that's above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, on the earth, under the earth, and above the earth, and that Jesus Christ, that name, has been set in order. The word of God declares that if you ask anything, Jesus said this himself, if you ask anything in my name, I will give it to you. There's something about the name of Jesus. There's something about the name of Jesus. That name, listen, all hell screams at that name. All hell knows what that name means. Man, I want you to realize sickness and disease have to bow to that name. Everything that has a name must bow to the name of Jesus. That's why the enemy's working so desperately. Listen, now, I don't know about you, but I remember when I was a kid, which was at least a week and a half ago. I remember when I was a kid. That, you know, you never heard any swear words.
Like a rated R movie was when they said the S word. Now, what's amazing is this. When you watch regular television, watch now, this is important. Because you need to see this and understand this. Because this is a direct attack against the name. See, if you can attack the name, you attack the authority behind the name. If you attack the authority to behind the name, then the name does not hold the power that it used to hold and influence that it carries. You see, there is listen, you can say GD all you want on TV and they'll never bleep it. You can say Jesus Christ, not in a nice way, but derogatory name. You can cuss the name of Jesus on television. They won't bleep any of that. But if you say S-H-I-T, they bleep it. Why is that? You're a conspiracy theorist, aren't you? No. This is real. Everything is spiritual first. Because when you delineate, when you degradate, when you break down the name of Jesus, then the believers in the church, come on now, because you are what you listen to. Some of you watching too much TV. All of a sudden, man, what's happening is the name of Jesus no longer holds the authority it used to hold. The name of Jesus no longer holds the power it used to hold. You see, I don't know about you, but I'm studying the name of Jesus. When you start studying the name of Jesus, the Bible says that heaven stops. It says, did you hear that? Okay, angels, go. Okay, Holy Ghost, release that anointing. The name of Jesus activates heaven to earth. The name of Jesus is the keys to the kingdom. The name of Jesus is the name that God has chosen that when released in the heavenlies brings heaven to earth. When the church loses that, then laying hands on the sick is just doing it in your power. And I want you to know, I never heard one of the disciples pray, in the name of Paul. At the gate, beautiful, they walked over and they said, in the name of John, in the name of my church, in the name of my preacher, in the name of my religion, in the name of Jesus. Come on now, I didn't hear you. I said, in the name of come on, let heaven hear you. In the name of
Jesus.
Come on, let hell hear you. In the name of
Jesus.
In that name, rise and walk.
Yes.
Come on, what happened? Right. What happened? On, you see, man. Heaven was released. Yes. All of a sudden, things changed. Now, did you understand the change? This man was at the gate beautiful for decades. He couldn't walk. His muscles were atrophy. Is that what it is? Atrophy. Man, he couldn't get up. He couldn't walk. His muscles had all shrunk in. And now all of a sudden, in the name of Jesus, silver and gold have I none. Listen, you might not have much in your capabilities, in your pocketbook, but silver and gold have I. But what I have, I said who I have. I didn't say, but who I have in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. They reached down and they picked him up. And all of a sudden, watch now, everything changed in his physical body. It changed in his physical body not because they grabbed him. It changed in the physical body because heaven was released because of the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden, his muscles came to attention. Now, come on now. They had to have grown. Come on now. The bones had to respond. The marrow had to respond. His feet had to respond. Everything had to respond. Because then he got up and he started dancing around. He started shouting around. He started giving glory to God. I want you to know something. There was something that happened that day. Come on now. There's something that happened that day that the people of that region could not deny. The message was being heard, but when the power was shown, it changed everybody. They had to make a decision because now the message is not just in word only, but in deed. You got to know the name you carry is not just a religious name. It is the name of the risen Messiah, Jesus Christ, the one who was and is to come. And when you speak that name, hell pays attention. When you speak that name, God starts to release. When you speak that name, the anointing is dispersed. When you speak that name, it's the name. That name is above every name. There's nothing more powerful than the name of Jesus. That's why sometimes you see me up there, you know, in the transition of worship, and you'll just hear me say the name of Jesus. I ain't chanting the name of Jesus. I'm saying the name of Jesus, and I'm feeling that gush. Because I can feel the presence of the Holy Ghost. And when I say the name of Jesus, when it's not a cuss word, not a swear word, come on now, the Bible says, don't take the Lord's name in vain. You know, everybody thinks that's just saying GD. You know who takes the Lord's name in vain the most? The believers. The word vain means with no purpose, with no meaning behind it. Do you want to know something? When you understand the name of Jesus, it is not just a nice thing, man. The name of Jesus is supernatural. I love speaking the name of Jesus. When you start praying the name of Jesus, you know, people just don't get it. Oh, come on up here, son-in-law. I got some fun for you.
I got on your back. You got my back.
No, I'm going to hit you. The Bible says one of the first things that Jesus did was lay hands on sick folk. You know what's amazing to me is, you know, even with this whole pandemic thing, the separation made it so that you didn't pray for people by laying hands on them. And again, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I know everything is spiritual first. The enemy, knowing his time is short, he knows that as the believer, Jesus told us, come on now, Mark chapter 16, 17 and 18, and these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they touch any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. And when they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. The Bible teaches us the elementary principles of the gospel of Christ in the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. One of the elementary principles is the laying on of hands. Why the laying on of hands? Because as a believer, who dwells inside of you? The Holy Spirit, the same one who raised Jesus from the dead, the same Holy Ghost who came upon Jesus in Mark chapter 1 when he was baptized, the same Holy Spirit that gave Christ the power to heal the sick, raise the dead, and do the miracles that he did, is the same Holy Spirit that dwells inside of you. So what happens is when you understand this, it changes how you think. You're not just some weak Christian walking around hoping that somebody's going to, on the sweet by and by, help you through. But you recognize that when you lay hands on somebody, the anointing, the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of you, the power or the energy of heaven, the Bible says in the book of 1 John chapter 2, verse 24, that the anointing abides within you. What is the anointing? That power of heaven that of dwelling is dwelling inside. Remember who the Holy Spirit is. He is God. Where does God dwell? In your spirit. Where is your spirit? In your belly. Where is God? You can all look up. But the fact is that God says, look in. You're not God, but the one dwelling in you, the God of heaven, is inside of you. So this is why what happens is the anointing dwells, and God is just waiting for you to lay hands on people and release the anointing of the Holy Spirit, release the power of God to heal the sick. It's not when you hit them hard. We call that a Shambach hit. Anybody ever seen Brother Shambach? Brother Shambach used to hit you so hard, you either went out in the spirit or you prayed to go out in the spirit. It's not how hard you hit them, but the Bible says when you lay hands on somebody and you release the power of God, how do you release the power of God? You release the anointing through the spoken word in the name of
Jesus.
You lay hands on somebody, you say, in the name of Jesus. Do I got to say it? Well, yes. If you say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt, you shall have what you ask. You lay hands and you speak it. Why? This is what I love about Jesus now. Watch. Jesus never once prayed for a sick person. I'll say it one more time. Mess up some good religious folk. Jesus never once prayed for a sick person. He always spoke to the sickness. And say it one more time. And check me out. Jesus never once, the closest he came to praying for a sick person was Lazarus in John chapter 11. Jesus walked over. Remember, he wept. The Bible says that Jesus wept. People think he wept. They thought he wept because Lazarus died. No, he already knew Lazarus died. He didn't cry because he thought Lazarus died. He cried because they didn't believe. I am the resurrection and the life. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. But they didn't believe that. So Jesus spoke, and this is what Jesus said. Father, this is the closest he came to praying for a sick person. Father, that they may know we are one. And then he said, Lazarus, come forth. Those spoken words. But remember Peter's mother-in-law? He was teaching us elementary school. Peter's mother-in-law was sick with a fever. And so Jesus went in, and she needed to, you know, make some supper. But she was sick. Now, you heard me. She needed to make supper. Grumbling on the front row. So Jesus went over and laid hands on Peter's mother-in-law, and the fever left. How is that? Well, he didn't need to pray in the name of Jesus. He was Jesus. But he taught that when he laid hands, there was a release from heaven to earth. Not heaven to earth, heaven to earth. And as a conduit of heaven, it's not how hard you hit somebody. I did want to do that. It's not, oh, God. We beseech thee in the heavenly realms of glory. That thou shouldest manifest thy divine power. And release. You don't even have to hardly say nothing. It's in the name of Jesus. It's not your prayer that's doing anything. It's the releasing of the anointing, the laying hands and being the conduit of heaven to earth. God is waiting to use you. You don't have to have a special prayer. You don't need to dance a special dance. Listen, thank you. What's amazing is when you realize this, this is not just the special people. Oh, by the way, you are the special people. Peculiar, the Bible calls you. Turn to someone and say, I told you, you were strange. You are peculiar people, God's holy people. You are a holy nation. You are priests. Come on now, you are prophets. God has great things for your life. He's waiting for you to believe his word. Can you imagine if you go to work tomorrow morning, you walk into work, and your friend at work is sick? You've shared the gospel with them multiple times, and you're living right. I'm like, you're not smoking dope with them during breaks. Well, it's legal. Someone told me that. It's legal now. Stupid. Well, I use it for medical reasons. No, you don't. You take a pill instead. You wouldn't smoke it. Oh, got quiet in here. I don't know why I'm hitting that. That must be somebody in here needs to hear this. Or on there. Listen now. I'll say it one more time. Don't tell me it's for medical reasons if you're smoking it. Get the pill. And that's it. You need to lay hands on yourself. Say amen. So anyways. Why don't we all do that? Lay hands on yourself. You're laying hands on your belly? Are you asking God to take away the fat, or what are you trying to do? Amen. Lay hands on yourself and just pray with me. Jesus, I thank you for the anointing that dwells inside of me. I release that anointing in my own life. I command my body, I command my mind, I command my soul to come into order, for the anointing brings order. I command my body to respond in the name of Jesus Christ. And I will accept nothing less than what your word promises. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. In Jesus' name, amen. Had this woman in my last church, she got a headache, and I've been teaching this, and she got a headache on her way back from where she used to get those big migraines that debilitate you for years, days. And so she's on her way back from work, and she said, I could hardly see, Pastor, and I remembered what you taught. She said, I reached around, put my hand on my head, and I said, in the name of Jesus, I command this migraine headache to leave my body in Jesus' name. And she said, it left. And I said, well, of course it left. You prayed, didn't you? Do you believe? Do you believe? Right now in the secular world, in the demonic world, we've seen different spiritualists start doing healing. And they're doing healing because the church isn't. Watch, they're not doing healing through Jesus. They're doing healing through the devil. But look how many people they're drawing to them. They're drawing them to them because they're supernatural. But we are the people of the supernatural. The supernatural is normal to us. The supernatural is what God has promised us. We've got to be the church. It's time to arise. We need revival again, oh God. Revive us back to our calling. Revive us back, oh God, to our purpose. Revive us, oh God, to sharing the gospel. Revive us, oh God, to laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover in the name of Jesus. Tell you, when we do this, we're going to rock this region. Can you imagine all of a sudden, like, I'll finish my story. You get to work. I'm back. That was a big rabbit. Went all the way around. You got to work. No, I knew this was going to be a long sermon, and I just didn't tell you. Because I don't have notes today. And that's dangerous. I haven't done that in 10 years, but I felt good today. I use notes for sermons, not because I can't remember. I've memorized all of my sermons, but because I can preach 3 hours like Kenneth Copeland. And I don't want to do that. Because I realized that after my last experience, your remembrance only lasts as long as your hiney. Amen. So you get to work on Monday morning, and somebody that's your friend is sick. You've shared the gospel with them, and you're living it, and so they're listening to you, but, I mean, they're just, I've never been to church. I had a bad experience at church. I've seen, my parents were Christians, and they weren't real. We can go through the list. And then at break, that was a hint, by the way, at break, and all CEOs and business owners said amen. And at break, I'll try that one more time. At break. Why am I saying at break? Don't use your employer's time because you lose your testimony. You've been hired to work, not to pray. Now work and pray. But on break, take that person aside and you lay hands on them. And you say, you don't mind if I pray for you? I've maybe one or two people in all of 34 years have ever told me they wouldn't accept my prayer. You ask them if they want Jesus, they say no. But you mind if I pray for you? Most will let you. They go in and you lay hands on them in the break room and say, in the name of Jesus, I command the sickness to submit to God's word. And I break your power in their life. Now, you might not be able to pray that good. And you can just say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And all of a sudden, shazam, they look at you and go, we call that a wonder. And they're wondering because, what just happened? And then the message you've been sharing with them takes on a whole different light. And you look at them and say, the same Jesus that just healed you is the same Jesus that wants to save you. No, you get that person saved. Then, man, bam, you get another one saved. My wife got her whole office saved when she worked at Liberty Travel. It was awesome. My question is, do you believe? Because this is not whether God's word is true or not. It's true. Is do you believe it? Because these signs shall follow them that believe. So if you don't believe, what happens is it don't work. Because God is moved by faith and not by hope. Well, what if I pray for them and it doesn't work? What if you pray for them and it does? What if you pray for them and it doesn't see an immediate manifestation? I'm going to end with this. Here we go. I know I preach really long. I can see Sam's foot waving, saying, dear Jesus, help me, help me, help me, help me. My son Cody already left. I don't know where he went. There is a difference between a miracle and a healing. We're American. We all want our miracle. Shazam! We want it now, our way. Many times when you pray for a sinner, there is a miracle. A miracle takes no faith. It is an instantaneous manifestation of God's power in someone's life that they don't need faith to have. Boom, God does it. But a healing is different. See, when you lay hands on somebody, come on. You've got to believe that when you lay hands on them in the name of Jesus, that the anointing of the Holy Spirit is released as you are the conduit of heaven to earth. Whether they feel anything, whether you feel anything, that the moment the anointing goes into their physical body, that God is doing natural work, supernaturally. When you believe that, it doesn't matter whether you see an instantaneous miracle, you know it's already being done. So don't get freaked out when you pray for somebody and you don't see an instantaneous miracle. You just know that when you laid hands on them, there was a release of the anointing. But without that anointing, the sick can't be made whole. Listen now. Only 1% of all medications have healing elements to them at all. The rest are covers. You know, I'm not against medication, but I'm saying most of them are covers. I want to be healthy. Now, my wife, when she got healed, she got a miracle the first time. When she had cancer, she had a miracle. It was a supernatural. I mean, went back 1 week after and it was gone. I mean, it was proven. Well, this last time, it wasn't a miracle. This has been healing. We've had to stand, and after you've done all you can do to stand, stand there for. But you see, we don't think we believe the Bible. We know we believe the Bible. We know that God gave us a covenant. We know that God gave us, come on now, God gave us a truth, and then he gave us an oath to the truth. So the ability to stand in faith means you've got to believe. I challenge you to be a believer and not a doubter. I challenge you to be a believer and not a doubter. The world needs you. People need you. They need God in you to work through you, to show heavens upon them that they can share and know that God is alive. Bow your heads with me this morning. I just love Jesus. I love his house. Honestly, I'm being gracious because I can preach a whole nother hour on this without stopping. I'm just praying for your heinies. Amen. Today, if you do not know Jesus, I have good news for you, and it's this. Someone paid the price for your shame. Someone paid the price for your sin so you don't have to. Nope, it's not joining a church. Nope, it's not joining a religion. Jesus paid the price for your sins to be washed away so you can have a relationship with God and that your life will have meaning and direction and purpose. Today, if you do not know Jesus, I want you to know him. Not just know about him, but know him. Today, if you need Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, I'd like you to slide your hand up this morning. I want to pray for you this morning. Thank you very much. You can put it right back down. Is there anyone else in the room this morning? You want Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. I'm not going to wait long. Come on now. This is important. This might be your only option. 5, 4. Come on, get your hand up. 3. Thank you, young lady. Thank you, ma'am. 2. Come on now. One more call. One more. Get your hand up. Thank you. I've been waiting for you, honey. You can put it right back down. God's got great things for your life. And 1. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. Jesus, we love you. Can you pray with me out loud? Let's pray together as a church body. Ready? Jesus, thank you so much for loving me. Thank you so much for having purpose for me. I make a dedication. My life is not my own. You bought it. I gave it to you. And I'm asking you to use my life this week to share you with somebody. Jesus, I will lay hands on someone. I will pray for them in your name. And I know they will be healed because your word says so. I declare that I will be used to bring in this last day harvest of people that need salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. If you raise your hand for salvation, Mindy is right on over here. Listen, we're not going to do weird things. We have a Bible for you. We want to encourage you. We want you not only to start this race, but finish this race. Amen? And finish strong. So if you raise your hand for salvation, don't run out the door. Make your way on up here. And please make your way now. And can we all give them a hand clap this morning as they come on up in front? Amen. What's that? Anybody who is fresh here, doesn't know, you know, is new here, we'd love to have you in the connection room right next door. Maybe you've been here for months or weeks or years, but you've still never made a connection. We'd love to make a connection with you right in the connection room. Go right on out to the bathroom side, down the hallway. We love you. Serve God with all of your heart. We'll see you next week. Enjoy Jesus. Make sure you're at Elmira Fest on Friday nights.
The presence of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The presence of the Lord is here. 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 I feel it in the atmosphere. The presence of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord.